Today is the day of Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday, and the scripture lessons are from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, and the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 26 through chapter 16, verse 15. Today's message is titled, "Oh, to have the passion and persuasion of Peter." Hear the word of the Lord from Scriptures, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here ends the first lesson. Our gospel is from John, beginning in chapter 15 and going into chapter 16. Beginning at chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus speaking on the night he was betrayed to his disciples in the upper room. "When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now, I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks, 'Where are you going?' Because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men did not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Today is the 50th day, the 50th day since Jesus the Christ rose from the dead. 10 days after Jesus the Christ very visibly ascended up into the sky to return to heaven, as the disciples witnessed with their very own eyes. Before Jesus ascended up into heaven, Jesus commanded the disciples to stay in Jerusalem. Stay and wait for the gift the Father promised. It is written in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while He, that is Jesus, was eating with them, He gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. On another occasion, the resurrected Jesus the Christ said, it's written in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Before Jesus was crucified, in fact, on the night He was betrayed, Jesus said this. It's recorded in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And as we heard in John chapter 15, verse 26, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me. This one that comes along to help, to counsel, is the Spirit of truth. And for the disciples, this Spirit will bring to remembrance all the things Jesus had said to them. From the perspective of Jesus' teachings and actions as seen through the lens of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension, now Jesus' teachings are taking on a richer, a deeper meaning, a deeper understanding was sinking into the disciples. The disciples were starting to make the connections, to connect the dots, so to speak, with the aid and power of the Holy Spirit, that greater than human ability was needed to make the connections, that greater was needed to go forth and carry out the mission they were given, for someone greater than themselves was really necessary. As Jesus warns the disciples of what is to come, they will be put out of the synagogues, even killed. John chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or Me. These words of Jesus were proven true as Saul searched out and sought to destroy the followers of the way, as the group of Jesus' followers were first known as, and is proven to this day as persecutions still come for those who preach Christ, crucified and risen Lord. Still, with such suffering, such hardship to come, and the myriads of challenges, the carrying of the gospel to new ears, new hearts, and new lands to save and redeem souls must continue. An action that is beyond human strength and human power must have more and more. Thus the Father promised, and the Son will send exactly who is needed. Yes, who is needed. Not what is needed, not a thing, not a what, but who? The person of the Holy Spirit. So that relationship is present as the helper, the counselor, comes alongside of us and comes and indwells us. Stay in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. When the Father makes a promise, the promise will be fulfilled. Wait. The festival of Pentecost was coming, a festival day that all Jewish males are to come to Jerusalem from wherever they are and worship the Lord. Exodus chapter 23 declares the three annual festivals that all are supposed to come to Jerusalem: the first fruits, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Harvest, and the Feast of the Ingathering, which are known as Passover, first fruits, and the ingathering of the crops. And with these commandments in Exodus chapter 3, no one is to appear before the Lord empty-handed. Along with the command regarding the harvest, bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. This command of the Lord for this festival is once again bringing to Jerusalem pilgrims from across the lands, gathering with their first fruits of the wheat harvest. Yes, the wheat harvest, the first and best of the wheat harvest. I invite you to make the connection now. When Jesus said, it's written in the scripture, John chapter 12, verse 24, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Also at this time, the festival of giving the Torah. Yes, the giving of the Torah was commemorated. The event that sets Israel apart from all other nations. The giving of Torah at Mount Sinai. Hear a little from Deuteronomy chapter 4 that recounts this. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children, to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, where He said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you His covenant, the Ten Commandments, which He commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. This is all a part of this setting in Jerusalem. The Jewish pilgrims gathered from across the lands, from across the nations, to bring their first fruits of the new wheat harvest and gathered to commemorate the giving of Torah. Overflowing commotion taking place in Jerusalem, and it's simply summed up by Luke in these few words, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I'm drawing you back to the Jewish scriptures to deepen the meaning of what will unfold this day as the group of Jesus' followers are all together. From Luke in Acts chapter 1, we learn in addition to the 11, women were there along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and also Jesus' brothers. One of those brothers would one day become the leader of the Jerusalem church and also write the book of James. Luke tells us a group numbering about 120. That was the size of the group. Where were they when the wind began to blow? Luke 24, verse 53 gives us a good indication. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. The feast of Pentecost, also called Shavuot, was beginning, and the whole mass of pilgrims would be heading towards the temple. We know from Acts chapter 2, verse 15, the time of day is about 9 a.m. in the morning. It's the time of the morning Pentecost festivities in the temple. A great crowd would have already been assembled, already gathered at the temple. Acts chapter 2, verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. The temple. The temple in Jerusalem is frequently referred to as house. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5. Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says, are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? Acts chapter 7, verse 47. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. Are you building this scene in your mind? The crowds, the temple steps, coming up from the Pool of Siloam, thousands upon thousands of pilgrims after their ceremonial washings in the Pool of Siloam. Yes, there is a massive stone stairway from the huge Pool of Siloam. Archaeologists have not fully excavated the pool, yet the portions uncovered show the Pool of Siloam to be huge. Stone steps setting off three sides of the pool show the pool to be 225 feet wide. Believe it or not, this area was discovered in 2005. During sewer repairs in the city of David. The pool is roughly the size of 2 football fields. The Pool of Siloam is huge. So see yourself among this group of 120. See yourself at the temple, which was then first dedicated to the Lord with wonders. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. Though no such wonders happened at the dedication of the second temple under Zerubbabel, the Lord spoke these words through the prophet Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. See yourself amongst the 120. And recall the fire on the mountain of Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. The fire at the first temple dedication. And the promise of the Lord to shake and fill the house with His glory. And then feel the wind blowing. Hear the loud rousing, sounding of the wind creates. See the fire flowing freely, starting to fill the area. Watch as the fire divides and settles on tongues, as shapes of tongues of fire on each person's head. You, the 120. Experience the welling up inside and the bursting forth in words from your lips that you have never spoken before. Words in a language you never learned. And for some, a language you have not even heard before. Yet the power has come upon you, come into you, and moves you to speak of the greatness and glory of God. You can't help it. You must praise the living God. The pilgrims in the temple area, the pilgrims coming up that grand way from the Pool of Siloam, they turn aside to your little group amongst the hundreds of thousands gathered. What is happening here? All these Galileans are speaking languages from lands far off and lands near. The vast variety of pilgrims who came for the festival are now hearing of the wonders of God in their own language. Hearing Galileans speaking of the great things of God. Great things as forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus the Lord. For Christ was crucified and Christ rose from the dead. Then arises Peter to preach. And with great passion, the first time ever, the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed. Christ crucified. Christ risen. What is happening? What is happening is the fulfillment of the Scripture, the outpouring of the Spirit, the proclamation of everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Such boldness before hundreds of thousands. Yes, hundreds of thousands gathered. Peter preaches Christ crucified and Christ risen. See Peter pointing towards the patriarch David's tomb as he preaches. David's bones are still in that tomb. David knew of the promise of God that one of his descendants would sit on his throne forever. And that one would not be abandoned to the grave nor see decay. Still pointing to David's tomb in the fullness of voice, it's recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 32 and 33. Peter proclaims, God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Then in a booming, reverberating sound that swelled to captivate all in the temple area, Peter powerfully proclaims, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The power of these holy and spirit-infused words pierced the hearers' hearts, bringing forth the response, what shall we do? In accordance with Jesus' command, Peter answers, repent and be baptized. It's written in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, then he, Jesus, opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures, and repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Peter replied to the people. It's written in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Oh, to have the passion and persuasion of Peter. As the next verse shows in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Peter earnestly testified, Peter exhorting them, Peter personally interested in seeing the people respond to hear the good news of Jesus. Repent and be forgiven. The Greek word here is an intensified compound word, meaning giving full, clear testimony, earnestly and intentionally, thoroughly bearing witness. Peter's doing that, pleading, be saved from this perverse, morally twisted age. The same passion is needed today. For I never would have, could have imagined of such a corrupt and morally twisted time as we're living in. When even the most basic reality that is written into the DNA of every cell of an individual, a foundational truth declared in the Scripture, would be so disdainfully dismissed. In the beginning, God created them, male and female. Oh, to have the passion and persuasion of Peter instead of the hollow and emptiness of the preaching of these days, which has resulted in 43% of millennials who don't know, care, or believe God exists. The hollowness of the years of preaching, such as the Crystal Cathedral with all its positivity preaching, and the hollowness of self-improvement preaching, in fundamental nature, really preaching selfishness. Selfishness, which is in its essence moral depravity. As Nathaniel Emmons preached in the early 1800s, all sin is of the same nature and essentially consists in selfishness. Sin is a transgression of the law of love, and nothing but selfishness is a transgression of that law. God commands all men to love Him supremely and one another as themselves. When any man loves himself more than God and his own good more than the good of any of his fellow creatures, he is totally selfish. And his selfishness is a transgression of the divine law. All sinfulness may be traced to selfishness as its source. Men never act from any worse than selfish motives. Oh, to have the passion and persuasion of Peter. In actuality, it's the passion and persuasion of the 120 that were there. Luke is focusing on Peter, but the reality is the 120 were speaking and glorifying God. Parthians, Medes, along with the visitors from Pontus and Asia and Rome, all the list of languages in Acts chapter 2, they were hearing in their own native tongue. As Acts chapter 2 verse 11 shows us, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Christ crucified, Christ risen. Repentance and forgiveness of sins in His name. Repent and be baptized. Be saved. Repent and believe and be baptized. And then there at the Temple Mount, can you see the 120, you along with them, go down, walk down that wide way, that 700 yards or so, being followed by others as you go down to the Pool of Siloam with plenty of room to baptize. It's written in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. There at the Pool of Siloam, more than likely that was the location, 3,000 souls being saved. The coming of the Holy Spirit was to establish and grow and build the church of Jesus Christ. It was for others to hear this good news. Christ crucified. Christ risen. Christ will come again. Repent and believe. And you will be forgiven. Be baptized. And the gift of the Holy Spirit will be yours also. It's for you, for all people, for your children, from near and far. the coming of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, was for the church. To grow the church, to see souls are saved, redeemed from sin and death, and given life everlasting. Can you understand the passion of pleading, the earnestness of Peter and the others saying, save yourself from the corrupt generation. Be saved by Christ. Be saved by Christ. That's the word the land needs to hear this day. That's the word the land needs to hear in the coming days forward. And you are also the one to proclaim it. For the Holy Spirit has been given to you. Luke focused on Peter, but the 120 were there, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking of the wonders of God. Now you who are filled with the Holy Spirit, speak the wonders of God. Speak the wonders of God so a soul will be saved and redeemed by Christ's precious blood. That's the power of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that's the power of the indwelling Spirit in you to go proclaim the wonders of God, redemption in Christ and Christ alone. Amen and amen.